since I interface with all of the Google teams, then I talk to them. Most of the teams tell me this conclusion. They say machine learning doesn't work in practice. That's 2017. So basically nowadays, people spend 1,500 hours per year in front of computers. And we believe that's a waste of time. My reasoning is computer user is very good at doing the long tail task, which has no API. Because we have so many websites, it's so many tasks that's not doable with a certain API. If we extrapolate the curve, we can see it's roughly 2027 or 2028. That's roughly the timeline we're looking at for AGI to come.
There's been a lot of talk about AI agents lately, what they can do and how they're going to change the workplace. We have a true expert today to talk about this, Ang, one of the first research hires at DeepMind, and now the founder and CEO of his own company, Similar. Similar is building an autonomous computer technology that will directly use your browser and computer to complete tasks like pay for parking tickets, change Photoshop settings, and even use your browser to reply emails for you. So let's dig in. Welcome, everyone, to the Second Order Effect podcast. Today, we're very excited to have our guest, Ang Li, CEO and founder of Similar. And we're going to have a great episode on content about agents, his time at DeepMind, his work pushing kind of computer use agents in general. It'll be a great conversation with me, John, and Ang. So, Ang, give us a quick intro of yourself, a little bit of your life, if you're willing to start.
Hello. Thank you so much, Jason. My name is Ang Li. Grew up in China. Started programming when I was age 10. So basically do lots of like old traditional programming. Got super excited about AI when I was second year in my college. And then I started to surprisingly publish a paper as the first author, undergrad, in a top conference and called ECCV, European Conference on Computer Vision. Went to CMU and then doing my PhD in the University of Maryland, working on multimodal understanding, and spent a lot of time in big company working on AI applied products as well. Graduated from my PhD in 2017 and joined DeepMind in the Mountain View team. That was the beginning of the DeepMind in the Google headquarters. I was actually one of the first few research scientists in the team. And this team is very unique and very interesting. And I have to think about, okay, how do we approach AGI? It's called artificial general intelligence. It's like a man-made intelligence system that can do a lot of stuff human can do. And I'll talk to all of the Google teams, figuring out how to apply this technology to the real world production.
What types of work were you doing at DeepMind?
Yeah, so one area I'm thinking more about when I was in DeepMind, I keep thinking every day, which is like, what is AGI? What's the missing piece there? And the second question I have to think about is, since I interface with all of the Google teams, then I talk to them. Most of the teams tell me this conclusion. They say machine learning doesn't work in practice. That's 2017. And I had to think about this question, why it doesn't work, right? Then that these two questions basically brings me my research agenda in DeepMind. The whole idea is called continual learning or lifelong learning, because we believe the AGI system needs to adapt to the environment. And why this is important to the real world is just because most of the machine learning methods, they have an underlying assumption. So when people talk about machine learning, there's an assumption that no one really talk about is that you have a fixed data set, which you collect beforehand, like images and text. You put this data set into a neural net doing some kind of learning mechanism, and the neural net become magically works very well. But this assumption of this methodology usually does not hold in real world. In real world, all of the data collection process, the dynamics, the data distribution are very different. I can give you one example. there was one day no one talked about COVID. And after that day, suddenly the whole world was talking about COVID. When we look at the word frequency in Google search, there's a dramatic difference in the distribution of how people search. And you can imagine an AI system trained before that day will have a hard time understanding what's going on after that day. So this basically explains why it's a hard problem for machine learning system to apply to the real world.
Right, because when context changes and the change is not something that you've seen in the past, you don't have the data to work with to predict that change in the future state, right? So COVID didn't exist before 2020. Once COVID came around, all of a sudden all the searches happened. But without having had something like that happen in the past, you would never predict COVID would happen in the future.
Exactly. That's also the core of AGI system, because you need a system that can continuously collect data and learn on the fly at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Curious, coming from the more breadth of research that you're seeing at DeepMind, how did you get inspired to then leave and to start working on Simular?
Yeah, because I have to think about this core question, like what is AGI, right? So that's the first question. Back then, everyone has very different definition. Even nowadays, everyone has very different definition when I ask my colleague. But one thing I'm pretty sure is AGI should be something like human. But in the end, it's not human. And I found a similar, which means something that imitates something else, right? So this word has the exact meaning what I have in belief about AGI. So that's why I registered this similar.ai long before I started a company. And the second question is, how do we approach AGI? How do we, or like in a more plain English, approach human-level AI system in the future, right? And normally in the past, people try to collect a lot of data and train a model in a lab setting. And I believe this is not the right way to approach that. I believe a good AGI system should grow in human society, should be built in the public by interacting with real human in real use cases. Human can actually use it and interact with the system, and the system keep learning using continual learning mechanism to become much stronger and stronger in terms of capability.
Let's see this play out in practice. At this point, Ang gives us a live demo of Simular. First, he opens what looks like a standard web browser with a vertical tab panel on the left-hand side. The tab panel contains an input box to type in your prompt, just like with GPT. He runs a couple of queries in succession to show us what it looks like. Search today's news headlines. Pay for parking using Pay by Phone, 90927. Open X and LinkedIn in parallelism and summarize my feeds with those platforms. In the main browser view, after each of these queries, we see what looks like a replay of someone's browser actions. The browser is moving on its own, scrolling the page, filling in text in text fields, and clicking buttons. On the left, in the tab, you see new text as the agent is explaining its own actions and trying to outline what it's doing. Its internal monologue. For example, open paybyphone.com. Open the payment website page. Search for the location in my working memory. Find the zone number 90927. Fill in the appropriate text field. Hit continue. Actually, today's recording day is a Sunday, so no payment is accepted, but at this point, the task is complete. To imagine it, imagine you asked a friend to do a task on a browser, and you could see what their browser was doing all the time. At the same time, they are explaining to you what they are doing in a chat with you. This is roughly what it feels like. You touched on a little bit, you know, the similar but not the same for AGI versus a human.
Yeah, I feel like there would be fundamental difference between human and AGI system in the end. And a human will always try to be one layer on top of the AI system in the long term, meaning we need to build a system that can allow human to intervene easily.
You mentioned a little bit around the end state of AI having characteristics that were similar to humans, but not exactly the same. Could you talk a little bit more around your how you framework and think about specifically what those differences are?
Yeah, so one thing we have to say in the beginning is about the end state of the world, right? We believe all of the machines can work autonomously. They move the mouse, cursor, type on the keyboard, doing actions. And human will just call the autonomous computers, ask them to perform any delegated task to these computers, and they perform the job. The major thing we need to think about for this end state is what's the role of human in the end, right? If the computers can do the job on their own, then why are we important there? So there are multiple things we need to be careful here, because no one talk about this nowadays because the agent is not good enough. So human will still be the person who control the system, who supervise the system. So how do humans supervise these machines? If we let the machines to only call APIs, right? Like the back channel, sending messages to each other, human will have a hard time to actually know what's going on there. But if the agent always show their actions in front of the computer, on your screen, human has a way to observe. Human has a way to teach agent what to do for the different types of tasks. So we believe graphical user interface is a common ground between humanity and the computer use agents.
In the future world, what do you imagine the sort of the flow to look like for an office worker or some knowledge worker? Like, what does it look like in people's lives? Can you help us kind of paint a picture of what that might be?
So there are actually multiple stages. I can speak first for the end state, which is you treat it like a friend of yours. Maybe you pull out your phone. You have a context, right? And you send a text message to an agent called Simula and saying, can you pull 100 companies information and put it into a spreadsheet, send an email to one of my other colleagues. And then the agent respond, yes, after a couple of minutes, yes, I've done that. And this is the email I CC'd you. And can you check and double check? Let me know. If there's a problem, I can continue or revise the spreadsheets. So this is the end state. So that's why some people say when AGI comes, there won't be much change to the human society because everyone's behavior is still the same. But we have to think about it in the middle, because for now, the technology is not mature. We're definitely not getting to that state like a computer can just do everything that human do on their own, right? So, and many of the cases, it may fail in the middle. You cannot finish the whole task. Then how do we design a product? That means we need a shared interface between the agents and the human users, which is kind of more like a co-pilot setting.
You talk about the agents being something you can observe, right? And you kind of contrast it against sort of the API, you know, or maybe a sort of a chatbot in the background. What do you expect the mix to be in the future state? Are there going to be both? Like, do you expect sort of general computer use agents to take over everything? How do you think about the problem?
Yeah, computer use is a very new technology, and it's kind of different from all chatbot-based agent, because when you use a computer, you don't have to speak. Right? When you perform a task, you don't have to tell anyone anything. You just perform the task. So I treat these chatbot-based applications more like assistant, because they cannot exist without human users. Right? That's the difference between agents and assistant. Agent can be standalone without human beings. Or yeah, just do this is why we call it, try to differentiate a little bit, we call it autonomous computer.
So taking a step back for our listeners, we just mentioned autonomous computers, or another name would be computer use agent. And these are AI programs that control your whole computer. They see what's on your screen and perform actions to interact. such as moving the cursor, clicking, or typing. We will also mention later on browser use agents, which is almost the same thing except that it only sees and controls the browser.
You know, generally, agents as a whole interact with systems that are built for human interaction. You're building a product kind of at the cusp of that change, where soon it'll be a mix of agents and humans interacting with whatever that endpoint is. How do you think the way that those systems are designed is going to change as more and more computer use agents come online?
Very good question. And I think for now, computer use agents is treated as a tool by most of the so-called general agent, right? But as the technology progress, as the success rate become higher and higher, when these agents can use computers at the human level, maybe we don't need all of these APIs. We don't need other tools. In the end, the computer use agent become the top level. And then maybe the chat becomes the tool. So there will be a flipping scenario happening in my mind. It's possibly like, in the end, computer use is the most general agent.
And to tie it back to Similar, which is the company you founded, there was like probably some assistant concepts or some agent concepts that you had in mind, but was it the better form factor or more powerful form factor that made you want to develop the Similar product as is today? Tell us what sort of motivated push you for this particular direction.
So basically nowadays people spend 1500 hours per year in front of computers. And we believe that's a waste of time. People shouldn't spend so much time on their computers. That's why our mission is to produce the autonomous computers, basically converting all of the existing ordinary computers into autonomous agents that can perform clicking and typing just like humans. And this can also duplicate into multiple machines so that dramatically improve humans' productivity in the future. And we built a framework, which is an open source framework. If you're a developer, you're encouraged to try it out and let us know how it works. And based on the learning from our agentic framework, we produced this similar agent on macOS. And we hope to give everyone a way to access this technology by reducing the cost as much as we could, improve the latency, the user experience, the speed as much as we could, and also improve the success rate of the agent as time goes by when we optimize the system better over time. In order to achieve that, we need to first have the technology that's mature. That's why we have a small team, like research team, try to push the benchmark numbers on OS World, find the approach that can get to the human level and make it better and better. For now, we are 40%, a little bit over 40% success rate on OS World. Human level is 72%. We still have a big gap. If we just put in our computer and just give a task to the computer and forget about it, walk away, come back, see the results, no one will be happy with that because it's not going to produce the best results.
Jumping in real quick, Ang mentions OS World. OS World is an AI benchmark that measures agent effectiveness in completing a set of realistic computer tasks, which involve interacting with desktop and or web apps. Some examples of tasks in this benchmark include exporting files to a specific file format and also creating a chart and spreadsheet. For more info, you can check our show notes. Back to Ang.
It's like maybe a primary school student, right? You need to lower the expectation, meaning the agent can do something, can help you to do something, but it's not guaranteed to always successful. Then can we let human users to quickly jump in and continue the task without disrupting the workflow, right? Humans still go to their browser normally as usual, but we give them an option that you can maybe type something in your address bar, and then your computer suddenly perform the action for you in an autonomous way maybe for 10 steps or 15 steps or even 50 steps. And then you come back, finish up everything. Because in the end, if you think about it, even we have an autonomous computer that can do most of the job, it's just like human become the CEO of the whole company, right? You need to hand it the results. Okay. I plan to buy like 100 stuff in Amazon, and do you approve? Can you approve? Can you confirm? Like the credit card information, maybe you put it in there. It's not going to waste you a lot of time, but agents is going to take the majority of the work done on its own.
I want to double click on that. I think different humans have different tolerances for trusting an AI system, to your point on credit card information versus booking a trip versus giving me just general advice or operating a repeatable workflow that is pretty easy. How do you think about the different tolerances of humans, and how does that change your approach to design when to build that escape hatch for an AI to hand over to a human?
That's a very good point. In the beginning, we actually have multiple prototypes internally. For example, we have one interface which directly controls your computer. So you download the app and then you give permissions, and the agent will like just control your mouse, doing all the action, can see all your screens. But we realized there might be an issue. Everyone has different tolerance. Many people just don't want to let a new thing see all of the content, right? And then we quickly shift to put out more our effort on another product, which is an agent on macOS, and it has an embedded web browser, which is not operating on your existing any applications. You don't have to give any credentials in the beginning. So the purpose for us is really to give everyone a chance to experience this technology and let the world to adapt to this new technology as it grows. And this gives everyone the chance without sacrificing their privacy. But if some users say, I don't care, like I can put some credentials in there, and they can still do that. They can still let the agent to offload more of their job in their digital world.
Given, you know, we're early in the adoption curve, right? And you say, hey, we're good at some things and not. Can you give us a framework to think about what tasks are agents or sort of the autonomous computers good at today and what kind of things they're not so good at?
So there's one important part is always on the prompting. For now, the agents are very good at some user queries or tasks that users make the queries very specific, make the instruction very clear. So you have to put a lot of details in there. You have to do some iterations. So human is becoming the programmer, which use natural language to program the agents. And a lot of cases comes from the ambiguity. So that becomes the part that agent fails. For example, if the query didn't specify certain information very specifically, and then the agent will try to hallucinate that information or pause there and ask the user.
You know, for our listeners here, right, if they want to experience this technology and they want to use it, what kind of use cases would you recommend?
My reasoning is computer user is very good at doing the long tail task, which has no API. Because we have so many websites. It's so many tasks that's not doable with a certain API. And if we don't use this computer user technology, there's no way for us to do it. We have to do it manually. It's kind of counterintuitive because everyone believes this technology should be used in repetitive tasks. Yes, it can be used in repetitive tasks, but the value is relatively low. Because if it's repetitive, there should be already someone coded up. And there's a majority of the tasks which is not repetitive and no one cares in the past. And personally, I found the most helpful to me is like, suppose I want to do a certain task at the website. I've never been there before. I have no clue how to do it. I let the agent to explore first. So I have a really low expectation in that scenario, right? Suppose I want to pay a parking ticket. Or like I go to a new place, they have a new system for pay parking. And then I just say, agent, you do it for me. at least the agent probably see the website sometime before in some training data. It knows better than me.
Pay my taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, another use case is more towards the repetitive. So some actions, if I do it once and it works well, we have a system that try to improve the reliability. So this action will be translated into executable code. And next time when I run the same query, it's actually running the code instead of LLM. So it becomes more deterministic and it's also faster. And I find some of the actions gradually become like the query become a shortcut to me. Suppose I want to go, yeah, there are many websites that requires you to log in, right? Sign in, and then you click a bunch of buttons, navigate to a certain web page. And if I let the agent do that action, it becomes successful once. And then next time when I run it, oh, I probably type a few keywords there. And then we have an autocomplete system. And then that becomes the shortcut to that web page. Yeah, that's another use case I use pretty often.
You talked a little bit about these repetitive tasks being codified and executed against. There are certainly implications against existing, especially smaller scale software programs that may be solely built to do these things. How do you see agents impacting the software application ecosystem as it is today?
Yeah, for now, if a programmer wants to write code for a certain workflow, what they do is they use some IDE and write a code, right? But imagine we have a really good computer use agent, and then we can let the computer use agent to do the job that an automation engineer does, right? So it's basically the same job. Like you go to the website and try to figure out which button to click on, and then distill that actions into code. And now nowadays it's human doing that, right? So computer use agent has the potential to do the job for automation engineer. That's how software engineering is going to change as the technology mature over time.
How does the computer use agent know which tasks to turn into code?
The agent will try to minimize the risk of its future actions. This is what humans do, right? The agent will explore the website and try to figure out how to do a certain task, how to write stuff in Excel, how to write stuff in your Google Docs, or how to pay my parking ticket. And once it does it once, it would always try to squeeze these type of actions into stable ones. So next time, you can use the stable actions because they reduce the energy.
So, you know, you've got something that you've coded and put in guardrails around already. Situation changes or context changes. How does the agent know to act differently when entering that ecosystem if it's executing its code?
Yeah, so basically you execute a bunch of code until at some point you notice you cannot execute it. And we also have multiple components to verify whether an action is executable or not, or whether an outcome is successful or not. If something goes wrong, turn back to the reasoning mode.
And I guess it's maybe fitting here at this point to bring in your vision for the product. Where do you see it going from here on out?
Yeah, I think this product is very special because the browser is running on your own machine. So the user experience for interacting with this agent is you can seamlessly control the browser while the agent is working on. So this is the middle ground, that the common ground for the agent and the human to work on the same workspace. So this is and we want to see how this type of interaction can further evolve and help the agents to learn. Maybe at some point, human can jump in and say, you did it wrong here, and this is how you do. They either type the queries in there, saying you should click on this instead of that, or they use mouse demonstration. They say, you should click on this, I point in there, and next time, remember, and the agent will collect this information just for this user, because it's related to their personal preference, right? The agent could collect this information and put it some memory system that's embedded in this application. And next time when we run the same action, we can utilize the personal information. This will be a very interesting feature of this product. Become real personalized agent for every user.
And specifically to call out the differences compared to other agents like Manus, those a lot of products that are getting built today tend to run more or less fully automated with human mostly out of the loop until end of execution in the cloud, right? And Ang, your case is very much local, browser-based on your hardware with various interaction points for the human with checks in place.
Yes, yes. And we believe this is the right thing to release at the current moment, given the current technology like capability, because we are definitely not at the autonomous stage. Humans still need to do their normal job, right? And in that case, we should try to design a product that doesn't disrupt existing user flow. So the existing user flow is people using normal browsing. And we give the additional capability that you can type a query there and the browser suddenly become autonomous for like a couple of steps and then you continue. People ask this question, like, suppose foundation model is better and better. Why can we just use a foundation model to computer use? Why do we still need a framework? And the reason I tell people is just because agent is very different from language models. Because language model only predict the next token without interacting with the environment. But agent predict the next action or next token. And in the middle, you need to see what's going on in the environment. Is the website changes? Maybe today the website looks like this. Tomorrow website looks like a different, completely different website. Then my token will be different. Right? So it's naturally not a single model problem. That's why we believe on top of the foundation model, we still need an infrastructure layer to produce the best outcome for agent. At the same time, that infrastructure layer also produce the continued learning ability, right? You keep collecting data and learn, recording memories, and then use that information to perform better in the next time. And at the same time, that infrastructure produce the code distillation, the program synthesis mechanism, right? Basically, we have actions, then we can translate it into executable code. Yeah, so that's why we believe the infrastructure is actually very important in terms of building the agents.
And can we just get your some thoughts here? Like, why do you think, you're sitting on top of the foundation models, right? And why do you think that, you know, what is the model doing better that allows, you know, your framework to do better, right? What do you think is changing underneath? Is it like better understanding intention, or is it better at converting or understanding what's happening on the screen? Give us some insights into what you think these foundation models are improving on.
Yeah. So in terms of computer use, we need two major capabilities. One is we call planning. Given a task, can we decompose the task into a step-by-step plan, right? So this is one capability. The second capability is given the plan, like for now, if I want to click a submit button on this page, what's the coordinate I need to move my mouse to? We call it grounding. This is the task we call grounding. Planning and grounding are two important tasks in terms of computer use. And our latest paper called Agent S2 framework, we did a study and we realized the major foundation models, the really good ones like Gemini, Claude, and OpenAI, GPT, they are very good at planning, but they are performing pretty badly in the grounding task. But instead, we use a small model to do the grounding that can achieve much better. A small model that specializes the design for the grounding. It's kind of similar to how humans behave, right? Suppose you always think a problem in the high level. It's harder for someone to actually dive deeper in a certain details, right? I always feel this problem. I have to think about details and the big picture at the same time. And I can feel the struggle, like human cognitive system may have this problem as well. So that goes to one of the hypotheses we have is in the end, there will be multiple foundation models. But every model will have their strengths and weaknesses. But all of the model can be better than human. All of them can be better than human in some areas. But compare them to each other, you can see clear strengths and weakness. Then that requires a framework to orchestrate them in a better way.
And to take us 12 months or 18 months in the future, even further beyond that, what do you think agent architecture, or sort of, as you said, autonomous computer architecture is going to look like?
There won't be one model rule everything. So in the end, we already see, we have two generations of agents, the first generation and second generation. We already see the trend of going multi-agent with multiple smaller agents inside and collaborate with each other. So that's why we believe the future of agentic system is multi-agent system, meaning it's a system with multiple independent agent system interacting with each other, and each one of them is responsible for one of the jobs. If you look at human society, right, for any single human, it's hard for them to be best at everything. But normally, as a company organizes multiple humans who specialize in different areas, and the company can perform much better in terms of building products or like, right? So this is how human society works. And we believe this could potentially happen in agents as well. Meaning in the future is a multi-agent society, and one big agent, the shell of the agents, it looks like one single agent, but in the end, it's actually multiple agents cooperating with each other to accomplish the task.
And when you say the individual agents inside this multi-agent system, can we use the framework you were using earlier? Like there's going to be one agent for planning, one agent for grounding?
It's actually pretty interesting because I work in Apple and Google before. And now when I look at our architecture evolution, so the latest architecture is like you have a manager agent take the task. Manager agent say multiple steps. And then the manager agent pass this information to worker agent. And the worker agent has less scope. They take one of the subtasks and continue, get the results, come back to the manager. And one of the potential problems with this approach, this is more like a top-down approach. Suppose in a company, your CEO say whatever, everyone follows. But Google is a different mechanism. It's like bottom-up. We also see many bottom-up organization approach in different other companies. So there's also a potential of a bottom-up multi-agent cooperation system that works better than a top-down system, or we have a bi-directional one. We believe there's a strong connection between how human society works and the computer agent work in terms of architecture.
Help us look into the future. What do you see coming up in the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, actually, our progress has been surprisingly much better than I expected in the past. So last October, we are roughly 20% success rate in OS world. And a few days ago, we are 40%. So we have 20% improvements over the past 6 months. If you talk about next 12 months, if we keep the same trajectory, we should be able to reach human level. But like usually in the end, the hardest part is always at the end. So I would say in 12 months, computers might reach near human level capability. Meaning there could be a potential very high, like large adoption for this technology in people's life. So that's the most exciting part, because I didn't expect to be this soon, but it seems like we are getting there faster and faster. Can we actually reach human level? If we can do that, the product experience, the whole user experience will be much better, and there will be more people willing to use it. And then we create this flywheel, like making better agents over time. And at that point, maybe the agent will not just live on your computers. You know, human society's productivity can be dramatically improved during that time. Yeah. It may not be there in 12 months, but roughly I can feel this is a good timeline. We can expect this to be happen. Yeah.
I want to ask for maybe a spicy take from you. So thinking about AGI and when AGI will be achieved, what are your thoughts on timeline here? Do you have a hypothesis or a point of view?
Yeah, I often talk about it. I keep track of figure on the OS world. And basically for any of the benchmark, I keep track of figure on the progress. And for now, if we extrapolate the curve, we can see it's roughly 2027 or 2028. That's roughly the timeline we're looking at for AGI to come. So AGI, we define AGI as a system that can autonomously do whatever a human can do. Suppose there's a machine on the other side. You cannot tell whether that's a machine or human. For now, you can tell, right? If you ask ChatGPT, can you pay parking ticket for me? ChatGPT say, I cannot, right? You know it's not a human. Yeah, but later on when computer use come in, you probably don't know.
All right, I have one more question. So taking it back personal, like, what would it mean for you, right, as a computer scientist who studied programming when you started age 10? Like, is this helping achieve AGI? Or what does that mean for you? How do you tie your work personally to yourself?
Yeah, that's a fun question because I keep thinking about this. Computer is my whole life. And in the end, I want to get rid of computers by making it autonomous. So that's like interesting because I was sitting in front of a computer since age 10 doing programming. And now I'm trying to move computer away. And I think the core is I feel like all of the technology in the end is just try to bring human into their nature way of living, right? Human is not designed to sit in front of computers. And if we can make computers more standalone, we can potentially unleash more of humans' creativity. And you can spend more time in a diverse environment that stimulate your creativity in terms of like how you think.
That's a wrap, folks. Thanks for joining us with our guest, Ang Lee from Simular. Ang, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that we got someone like Ang to be our episode one guest. It almost feels like a TV show episode where we see a scene of the season ending at the very first episode, and the whole season is basically lead up to that. Ang is part of that group of AI entrepreneurs who are building tech that automate a lot of the tasks that we do on computers today. And he basically gave us a timeline. He says by 2027, AGI or AI tech is going to be able to perform on a human level. So I guess that really just gives us 2 years to figure out how the world is going to change when that tech arrives. And John, what do you think?
Just over a year ago, computer and browser use agents barely even existed. Now they're nearly half as effective as humans. I'm definitely excited to continue to see the rapid improvements and find ways to work them into my everyday workflows. Stay tuned for episode 2.